Today we're going to be continuing our devotional series on the attributes of God. I believe that there is no one that we need more at any time of our lives than God. And I believe that we are especially cognizant of that need during this time of uncertainty and significant change. And this time is an opportunity for us as we come to know that we need God, to reach out to Him and know Him better. And as we look through God's Word about who He is, what He is like, I believe it will help us to draw closer to Him, to trust Him more, to know that all of His plans and all of His ways for us are good and pleasant and beneficial. So far, we've talked about the love of God, the sovereignty of God, we've talked about the mercy of God, and the grace of God. Today, we're going to talk about the justice of God and the goodness of God. The justice of God is one of the most underappreciated attributes of God. I think it's easy enough to guess why. We like to talk a lot about the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, but not as much about the justice of God. And I think that is because love, mercy, grace are things that we always want. But justice is something that we only want when it's pleasant and beneficial to us. God's justice, as we know, is what leads Him to punish sins. And we don't want to be punished. The goodness of God is perhaps the most misunderstood attribute of God. It tends to be seen as the same thing as His righteousness or His holiness. God is good. But His goodness is not the same as His righteousness and holiness. It's also often seen as the same as His love, but again, it's not. His goodness is most like His love. The two are very similar. They're difficult to distinguish between. Well, goodness is the attribute of God that enjoys and creates and gives pleasant and beautiful things to mankind. All the things that we would call pleasant, beautiful, lovely, true, good, these come about because God is good. In God's goodness, He created music, He created color, He created taste, He created the beautiful landscapes. God gives us laughter and peace and joy. These are all good things that come from our good God. God's love is that attribute that desires and works to give us good things in our life. First, we're going to talk in detail today about the justice of God. And we'll look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 5 to 8 first. These verses took place when Moses wanted to see the Lord. And so the Lord had Moses hide behind a rock, and then the Lord passed by Moses. And as He passed by Moses, the Lord declared to Moses certain things that were true about Himself. And one of those things, we'll read, has to do with God's justice. So Exodus 34, verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before Him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Before we continue, let's take some time ourselves to worship our God and pray for His help in understanding and applying His word today. God, You are a magnificent God. Help us, Lord, to note You with accuracy. Lord, may we not just view You as a cuddly buddy, but one who is just and true and demands righteousness. One who is perfectly holy. One who will punish sin. But one who also is very forgiving and very gracious and very good and very loving toward us. Lord, all of your attributes come together to make you beautiful and to make life worth living. Were one of your attributes not to be present in you, this world would not be the same, and we would be poorer for it. God, we love you. You are so worthy of worship and praise. Worthy of worship for your justice, worthy of worship for your goodness. God, we pray today that you would help us in understanding your word, that we might understand you better so that we can worship you better in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that we can draw closer to you as our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we do pray you help us to see you as our Heavenly Father. You're not a distant, impersonal force. You're not just a principle of justice, but you are our personal Heavenly Father, loving, watching out for us, caring for us, giving us goodness, teaching us the way we should go. Lord, in this week of prayer for coronavirus, I do lift up now our world and ask that you would use this bad thing ultimately for good. Lord, people are searching, people are hurting. I pray that they would draw to you. And God, I pray that they would come to know you and develop a personal relationship with you, one towards salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God, we pray for our community. Help us, Lord, to be a light and help us to reach out to those in need to show your love. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. So in addition to Exodus 34, 5 through 8, these are God's words to reveal himself to Moses. So he's explaining who he is to Moses. Part of that, he shares that he is a God who will punish sin. Well, we also have Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, which talks about God's justice. That verse says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he." This is what Tozer has to say about justice in explaining the concept. "Justice embodies the idea of moral equity, and iniquity is the exact opposite. It is iniquity, the absence of equality from human thoughts and acts. Judgment is the application of equity to moral situations, and may be favorable or unfavorable according to whether the one under examination has been equitable or inequitable in heart and content, conduct. Sorry. Everything in the universe is good to the degree it conforms to the nature of God, and evil as it fails to do so." Simpler terms, God's justice is him blessing people according to their being conformed to his righteousness, and punishing people according to them falling short of his righteousness. Although God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust in his goodness, he will, as Exodus says, by no means clear the guilty and allow them to go unpunished. His justice will be upheld. God's justice is something that we both fear and desire. When we have done wrong, we fear his justice. The fact that God is just is one of the reasons that the Bible tells us to fear the Lord repeatedly. However, we also desire God's justice. When we have been doing well but find ourselves in a bad spot, or when we see bad people triumphing, or when we see sin multiplying around us, then we desire to see God act in justice. We want love all the time, mercy all the time, grace all the time, but justice only part of the time. But that's unfortunate, because for us as believers, justice is only a positive thing toward us. It is something we should always want. The punishment for our sins was dealt with at the cross, and so we no longer need fear that aspect of God's judgment, that punishment and eternal separation from God. Our Savior bore our punishment for us, as we learned last Sunday, and we'll talk more about this one. We, as God's children, can still be disciplined, though. That's different from a punishment. Punishment is an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, eternal separation for an eternal crime. Discipline is correction. It's a much milder than punishment, and the intention is for us to learn to do the correct thing. Discipline could be the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. It could be sickness. It could be loss. Even this element of God's justice is a positive thing for us, though. But it might be unpleasant, but it is positive because God is helping us to grow into better people, into people who are more like Christ. And it also shows us God's love. You say, well, God's discipline shows us his love. Yes, it shows that he cares about us. It shows that he wants us to do the right thing. If God didn't discipline us when we were going astray, it would show that he was unconcerned about how we turned out in life and unconcerned about our eternal destiny and unconcerned about if we spent our time doing the right thing and knowing him. His discipline teaches us that he loves and cares for us and wants us to go the right way. So God's justice is good, period, for the believer. God's justice also means that he's going to protect us from evil. He is going to remove evil from the world, the new heaven and the new earth that he's creating. There will be no evil present in it. He's going to reward those who have trusted in him. He's going to reward us who have been working for him to do his will on this earth. He's going to reward us when we get to heaven with crowns and affirmation and blessings unknown. God's justice is always good. But for those who do evil and don't know him, they do have a reason to be in terror of it, because toward them it will be punishment. But we don't. His justice toward us will be governed by his love and his goodness and his mercy and his grace. God is just. Let's talk now about his goodness. Those are often seen as incompatible, but God is good and God is just. While God punishes the guilty who have rejected his mercy and his grace, his disposition toward humankind is to do kindness and to bestow blessing. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He gives good things to all." Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose." And then we have in Exodus again, Exodus chapter 33, verse 17 and following. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.' Moses said, 'Please show me your glory.' And he said, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" The interesting thing about these verses, if you're catching it, these are the ones that come just before what we shared earlier. This is the Lord preparing Moses for the Lord to pass by. He says that he is going to make all of God's goodness pass before Moses. And so that tells us that God's steadfast love, God's faithfulness, God's justice are also a part and compatible with God's goodness. God's justice, God's goodness, they are not two separate things. They work together. Tozer has this to share about God's goodness. When Christian theology says that God is good, it is not the same as saying that he is righteous or holy. The goodness of God is that which disposes him to be kind, cordial, benevolent, and full of goodwill toward men. He is tender-hearted and of quick sympathy, and his unfailing attitude toward all moral beings is open, frank, and friendly. By his nature, he is inclined to bestow blessedness, and he takes holy pleasure in the happiness of his people. The whole outlook of mankind might be changed if we could all believe that we dwell under a friendly sky and that the God of heaven, though exalted in power and majesty, is eager to be friends with us. So God's goodness, again, is perhaps one of the least thought about, the least talked about, the least understood aspects of God, because it's easily seen as the same thing as his love, and sometimes confused as being the same thing as his holiness. So we praise his love, we praise his holiness, not thinking about his goodness. We often see him, when we think of goodness, we see him as high and lofty and separate and holy. And it's good that we do. But what we miss by misunderstanding goodness is that we aren't looking toward him as tender-hearted and friendly and full of goodwill toward us and full of beautiful things and the creator of all that is wonderful and lovely. What a difference it would make in our day-to-day lives if we were to operate under the belief that God is good. There would be so much less fear, anxiety, and sadness if we knew our God good. Seeing God as good helps us to not just see him as God, but to see him as our Heavenly Father. We are to view God as our Heavenly Father. He's the authority over us, but he is also a good and personal authority. He's kind, he cares for us, and he does pleasant things for us. He's not just some distant authority who looks toward us of what he can get out of us. No, he's one who deeply cares about how we turn out, about our destiny, about our lives, wants to hear from us, and wants to give us nice, kind, good things. God's goodness is what fills the world with flowers. It brings beautiful sunsets and sunrises. It gives us delicious and tasty food anytime you're eating a bacon cheeseburger. Think God is good. He gives us faithful friends. He gives us the joy of laughter. When you've had your next hearty laugh and felt the joy of that and the release it brings, remember God is good. He made laughter. He sends to us relaxing days of peace. He gives us gifts of joy. He gave us the gift of music. God's goodness helps make life worth living, helps make life enjoyable. And his justice does too. The fact that God is just helps us to know that goodness will triumph and will be our eternal portion. When we're in heaven, all will be good because God is there and all that God does and thinks is good. Evil and bad things, the not good stuff, will not trouble us forever because God's justice will see to that and already has, in a sense, saw to that through what he did at the cross. The goodness that we experience in this life now, that's occasional, we will exclusively experience to an ever greater degree in the life to come as we spend it with God and his people for eternity. So God is good and God is just, and the two work together to assure for us that our eternal destiny will be one of pure goodness, pure delight in our God. And even now, God works his justice and his goodness toward us to bring, even in this fallen world where problems exist, moments of good, moments of delight. As we see God's justice and we see God's goodness in action on this earth, let's always take a moment to praise and worship and draw closer to God for that. let's not miss out on joyful, thankful hearts for all the good things that God gives us. Let's pray. Dear God, once again, we lift up our hearts to you in worship. God, we thank you that your justice is sure, that you have not and will not fail to act justly. Because, Lord, sometimes we see injustice on the earth, and we cry out, Lord, how long will this thing be allowed to continue? How long will this sin be present in our world? But, Lord, we know that you have already dealt with it by paying the penalty through Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the cross for such sins, so that all who trust in you will have mercy and grace and love for eternity. We know, Lord, that we will get to spend eternity with you forever away from sin. And we know, too, God, that you will deal with it for those who choose not to trust, that their sin will be away, and they themselves will be away for eternity. Lord, that's a sad thought, in a way, as we think about those who currently don't know you. And so, Lord, we continue to lift up in prayer, knowing that you're at work at this time to bring people toward yourself, asking God that you help us to reach out to others too. And God, we praise you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for all the good and pleasant things you give. Thank you for all the wonderful, tasty things you have made and for giving us the gift of taste. If you were not good, you could have just made food a bland, tasteless thing that we had to do to sustain life. But that's not what you did. You made it pleasurable. Lord, you made the sights of the earth pleasurable and made many beautiful things. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for the fog, the snow. We thank you for the wonderful colors. We thank you for the beautiful flowers that are drawing up from the earth at this time. God, we thank you and praise you for your goodness toward us and giving us a family. Thank you, Lord, for this extra time with family that we are getting in these times of social distancing. Lord, may we not squander it. And Lord, for those who are not used to family time, I pray that you would help them to grow as families, to not be fractious and argumentative with one another because they're not used to being around one another as much, but instead to be grateful for this extra time because it is a good gift. And Lord, we thank you for your protection over us so far with the virus that's been going around, and ask God that you would continue that protection. Lord, we love you. I pray that you would help us all to draw closer and closer to you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen.